Welcome to Freestyle Thoughts, a Dance Podcast. I'm your host, Anna, and this is episode 16. Originally, I was going to talk about the news that I received in January, and I was going to talk about the reaction that I had initially versus how I felt about it. Now, since I had time to live with the situation and my reaction is less raw, and also my reasons behind my extreme reaction to the news. But since then, things have changed even more. And then they changed even more after that. So to fully understand my current situation, we have to go back to January when I was first scripting this episode. I think whichever episode I scripted or maybe even recorded in January, it most certainly alluded to this piece of news, which I believed I used the term bombshell. And originally, what the episode was going to be about was what I already said. Reaction back then, reaction now, reasons behind reaction, and also the news itself. And then I made a decision to rewrite the script for this episode. Because, again, more news came out and it changed the landscape. So I feel like I need to record this now before more information comes out and changes everything again. So we're locked in now. So we are going to tackle the news and my life updates as a result in chronological order. So the so-called January bombshell news. Before going on holiday break, we had just finished a dance, Qingfeng Shulai, and it was one of those dances that made me just happy to do. You know, the music was a banger, the choreography was super cute, I loved it. So upon returning from the winter holidays, I knew that we had two big performances on the horizon. The Lunar New Year performance, which I briefly talked about in the Lunar New Year episode, I think, and the performance that we had to do at the Phoenix Wushu Nationals for basically free advertising for the school. Fair enough. I'm going to talk about the Phoenix Wushu Nationals events at a different time because the concept is kind of wild and the history is equally wild. But different story for a different time. So, still in this pre-winter holidays time frame, we finished Qingfeng Shulai, but we had another dance that had been in the works since October. And honestly, I'm not quite sure what to call it even. But as a consequence of the news, this dance never got finished. More background, one of the girls had been absent from the group class since maybe September or so. In addition to this Chinese dance class that we were all taking, she also attends a ballet school, which was starting to lock in for their production of The Nutcracker. The rehearsals for which, I guess, perfectly overlapped with our group class time. She still had a small group class, so she still learned all the group choreography that we had been learning, but for the most part, we had never done it with proper spacing. Never. So this kid disappears for the Nutcracker, and then we learned and completed 2.5 dances without her in the group class. We only learned one full dance with her. So my dance listeners can imagine the sort of hell, for lack of a better word, that I was expecting us to be in upon our return from the winter holidays. So we returned from winter holidays, and I came in with the expectation of it being grind time, not only because we had to finish that one dance, but we also would be going over and clarifying formations for other three completed dances. these two performances were major performances of the year. So clearly it's even more important for us to be polished, or at the very least, look like we know what we're doing and where we're going. Most of our dances had props. So day one of January practices, I am exiting my car with my little props, and the dance teacher spots me. And she says, "You won't be needing those today." I was confused. What did she mean? We had three dances with props that we never got to practice as a complete group. What? So I enter the building and I'm putting on my ballet shoes, and my dance teacher lays the news on me. "You won't be needing those because we're doing Mulan again." What? That was my initial reaction. And to understand that very initial reaction, we're going to need to take a very quick pause in our little retelling of January. This school, unlike other dance schools in the area, back in the day had a quirky way of going about a big Lunar New Year show. Since the school on paper offered both wushu and dance, the school opted to put on a production of Mulan. We went more the route of the ballad than the 1998 Disney adaptation, but for this episode, I will not go into it too much. From 2012 to 2014, this was an annual show. Every January, February, we put on a production of Mulan at increasingly impressive venues. Then in 2015, I think the school wanted to try to produce a short film or something. I don't really remember. And that was a time, but different story for a different day. And the school took a hiatus from Mulan. They revived it for a one-time bit in 2018, and since then, it's been a thing of the primarily early 2010s. And as a side note, I was trying to find a way that the school described itself on their website for the bit, right? And I did not find that, but I did find something else. So the quote on their website goes, "Our students graduate from here and attend Harvard, UC Berkeley, Rice, Cornell, and other top Ivy League schools." If the Cornell person that they're referring to is who I think it is, that is such a deep cut. But I think it's absolutely wild that I'm on that list. I know for a fact that of the kids who attended the school and then went off to university, or rather are old enough to go off to university, I am the only one who went to Rice. And honestly, what a wild implication. Because I stopped attending this school initially when I was in 8th or 9th grade. So it really didn't make an impact on my university applications. And it's actually wild. I do understand, though, that you have to work with what you got. You know, it's like over-exaggerating a little bit on a resume. I get it. But I actually screamed when I saw this. It's so funny to me.
So while I enjoyed all the other aspects of my personal involvement and performance, I hated and dreaded the Doonghwang dance at the end. The dance was like 5 minutes at the end of a show where I am either on my feet performing or actively in a quick change. And after Doonghwang is like 5 to 10 minutes of people just doing wushu forms. Originally, it was to show off traditional weapons, But I guess someone complained enough, so a regular broadsword form got added and extended the entire sequence, during which we, the dancers, had to stand the whole time and act and perform for now an extra couple of minutes. Not the end of the world, usually, but it definitely felt like that. When it's the second show of the night, you have flat feet, have been standing in ballet shoes for basically all day, and your feet are therefore throbbing beyond throbbing. Plus, it most certainly didn't help that at the time that there was this attitude that dance was lesser. So if you had to do a dance thing instead of a wushu thing, it was seen in a way as lesser. I mean, I'm struggling to explain this, but it was bad. So I was surprised because for me, it had been 10 years since I was in a Mulan production. I had quit by the time 2018's production rolled around, but I did go to see the show to support my friends who were still at the school. But more importantly for the school, while it was 6 years since they last put on the production, the pandemic happened during those 6 years. And the school has lost a lot of students, both to university and just like the pandemic was a good time to quit. And honestly, quitting a school is so hard because especially at the time, enrollment, it was kind of like quicksand. Like quitting because of university, that was kind of the only way to escape unscathed. But quitting while in high school or middle school at the time, like you could do it, but cases have been that you're banned from the school at worst or trash talk into oblivion at best. So the pandemic honestly provided the golden ticket to a lot of people. So the school in the wushu department had basically restarted with the number of new students, and in the dance department had been reduced to 4 kids. So to put on a production of Mulan to be in any way comparable to 2018's iteration, we would need at least 4 high-skill wushu girls and more dance girls in general. In 2018, I believe they were short on dancers, so they forced some wushu girls to join the dance class. So I guess there's already precedent for that. But the point is that it's basically a new batch of kids and families, and of the people who were in the show in 2018 and are still at the school, they were super, super young when the 2018 iteration happened. So switching to Mulan mode would mean that we no longer had the freedom to learn or work on dances that we wish. We were limited to Duhuang, and that had mostly not changed since 2014. There was a fan dance that was new in 2018, but it was largely underwhelming as a result of the 2018 dance teacher and some of the hot potatoing that was going around with dance teacher at the time. And that, it honestly sucked. I told them that I would not be in Mulan so quickly. The day that this news was dropped, I was dissociating the whole day. And badly, may I add. I have never dissociated like that before, and I can only imagine that this is what a very minor case of PTSD would feel like. Like, when I drove home, I cannot describe to you that I was kind of empty-brained when I drove home, to the point where I get home and I was like, how did I get here, you know? And then, you know, I was trying to like relax when I got home, and literally my body, it just felt so weird. I ended up solving it by taking a nap and stopped thinking about the problem, but it was bad, guys. But just if the news that we were doing this show affected my mental health so badly, like besides simply not wanting to do this, I feel like that was a sign that I should absolutely not be participating. Problem, we were given a deadline of September. Remember, ignoring all the wushu stuff, we only had 5 of us in the dance department in general. And then I said I wasn't going to do it. And then shortly after, there was another girl who said that she also would not be participating in Mulan, which leaves the dance department numbers to a whopping 3. And a month's worth of practices would be dedicated to these performances. Let that be because of preparation or the performance itself. So that really only left us with 7 months to prepare for Mulan, starting from complete scratch, essentially. Plus, they did want to add more dance numbers, which, contrary to my early complaints, given that we would eventually be working with a majority of people who have not done dance and also have no interest in doing it, adding more dances at this stage was not going to help. Because, but it gets worse, because we were on a 3-month deadline, performance shenanigans included, because our dance teacher was very heavily pregnant and going to start maternity leave in April. So the question then becomes, not only how are we going to do Mulan, but who is subbing, you know? Because clearly we would have to continue class because of our September deadline. And they didn't have another dance teacher. Our dance teacher, who was heavily pregnant, was the only one. So one day when we had our school rehearsal for the Lunar New Year performance, I get called into the school director's office. And at that time, they had found a sub and they were requesting that I, who was not going to be in Mulan and was at the time trying to figure out a way to yeet out of the school, act as an unpaid TA. They tried to bargain with me like, oh, if you do this, you know, we could, in the future, we could talk about giving you a dance class for you to teach yourself. And honestly, it was a gambit that I was not willing to mess around with. The sub from this meeting was described as having 0 or near 0 experience in Chinese dance. So I would essentially be taking over the class in practice while all the money and the credit would be going to the sub. It was truly an awful deal. Originally, I was going to go on this long tangent about the underqualified dance teachers that we have had in the past. And I am not going to go into such detail now because more news. But I will do a quick lightning round. At one point, we had a teacher who was a wushu student and subscribed to the modern dance mindset that all dances needed to have a story. And that was interesting. They didn't seem to enjoy teaching children. So classes were generally pretty miserable. Underqualified, yes, but most certainly not the worst. The school at some point went through one Russian ballet teacher, also underqualified, but also not the worst. But the worst one was this lady, she was a person of color, who famously said during her first practice, like, she introduced herself and then followed up, "Hi, my name is," with this statement of, "I do not know Chinese dance and I have no intention of learning it." And that's not even to touch on the technically qualified dance teachers that fit into, and that's not even to touch on the group of people who are in the middle, right? So there's underqualified and then there's qualified, and then there's that range of between underqualified and qualified, you know? And that's not even to touch on those dance teachers, because those are some, we got some quirky teachers over the years. But I'm planning on talking about those next episode, or just some more on this next episode. Because, you know, we have yet to reveal 2 more pieces of information. But so between the Mulan reveal and the next reveal, we got some changes in the dance class. So the one girl who we got one girl who allegedly has experience with modern dance to join, and I only say allegedly because it comes from an unreliable source. The other girl who was not going to do Mulan, she quit. And then we had three girls who originally did Wushu join the class, one of whom definitely wants to be there. The other one joined because the first girl is her friend, but also her sister is already in the class. And the third one does not want to be there and barely tolerates being there because of her friends. It's actually really funny because the third kid is the younger sister of one of the quote little girls when I was originally attending the school. And I think that's funny. And I mean, obviously now the older sister, she's not like little girl anymore, but I mean, she's about to graduate high school. But to me, she will always be one of the little girls because that's, what can I say? And then, because I needed to add this line, the girl who quit came back. The most confusing, it was very confusing. But as you can see, a very interesting attendance situation. And also, I know I said I wasn't going to add more, but after the girl who quit came back, we got another person who came from Wushu, and they also have some dance experience. Wild. It's been wild, guys. But then, you know, my teacher is about to go on maternity leave, so I sent an email to the school director that I was not going to be continuing with my private lessons until the maternity leave was over, because I did not, if I was going to have to potentially suffer under an incompetent dance teacher, I was not going to be doing that in a one-on-one situation. So the email that I got back requested that I meet with the director to talk about, quote, the direction of the dance department. And the last time I had this chat, I was told to do free labor against my will. So I had pretty low hopes for this meeting. In this meeting, I was informed that the sub, who had observed a couple of practices at that point, did not feel comfortable taking over our dance class due to the gap in the class's average skill level and her personal experience in Chinese dance. And considering the number of underqualified dance teachers, this random sub admitting that they were not qualified enough to do what was asked of them? Hella respect. But then there's one question. There's one big fat question. Who's the sub now? Me. I'm the sub. And the would-have-been sub was going to play a support role, a role that would be as big or as small as I wanted. And honestly, decently ideal situation given that Mulan's still on the table. And there were talks of me being paid as well, but as of recording this, there has not been an update on that. But it's upsetting that I'm not being paid, right? But while I am still doing free labor, I at least do not have to listen to an adult who is underqualified, you know? And while I do absolutely want to be paid for something that I enjoy doing, I don't, not having to suffer every week is also good. The plan was very simple. Keep working on Mulan stuff. And, you know, I had my plan already set out. Formations, cleaning, finishing dances. And, you know, if we were doing well, we could also work on overall technique as well. I mean, it was not the ideal material in that we were still not learning dances that we actually wanted to learn. But the kids were excited that the sub was me. And honestly, I think they were excited that I could even potentially be the sub back when it was confirmed that the sub was someone else. So the last couple of weeks in March, I was in a number of talks with the owners and my dance teacher about the plan. And those talks had a certain tone until literally 2 days before my teacher's maternity leave began. Suddenly, the pressure was off. We can learn / I can teach whatever I want so long as I went into this gig with confidence. So one would think that we're not doing Mulan anymore. And as of this moment, I am not sure of how much I'm allowed to reveal, but we're officially in a limbo state to be reassessed when my teacher's maternity leave is over. But considering that's the last practice before her maternity leave, my dance teacher taught a completely different dance and the tone severely shifted from the previous practice. From a tone of intense, it was pretty intense, to a more relaxed vibe. The practical state of our situation is very clear, even though none of us had addressed what was happening with Mulan to the kids. But now the question is, how has been teaching the kiddos now that I've done it for a little bit? And it's been interesting, okay? So I know that the parents for a good while were pretty anxious about the change, mostly because my first group class, everybody and their mom was there to sit and watch, the director, the director's family, the students' parents, like quite literally everyone and their mom was there. And honestly, it was interesting. We practiced in a big room, and the kids were pretty respectful of me. And the people who were not that, like when I asked for the kids' attention, right, they would stop talking and give their attention to me. However, the kids were also very distracted because their parents were there. And, you know, to be fair, it's really hard to pay attention, to give someone your full attention when your mom is a few feet behind you, potentially talking about you to her friends. Like, I understand that anxiety. I understand that. So yeah, there was lots of chatter in the room when I first, that first practice. And it was all the parents' fault, and it was really uncomfortable for me to address the parents and be like, yo, please stop talking. I need to talk to the kids. I need to talk to your kids. I need to give you your money's worth, you know? Like, it's really hard to do that, especially when that's like your first day. Like, it's like, what a power move that would have been, but it felt like a bad tactical idea. And it was a little bit chaotic that first practice, just because the part of the dance that we were learning, it was the intro, which meant everybody was doing different things. And it was rough. It was rough. But I mean, the kids after practice said that I did a good job to my face, so I'm good. And the director said I did a good job. And one of the parents, actually Angelina's mom, said that I did a good job and that she liked how I was running class. So I guess I was doing something good. Group class, subsequently, I mean, the director talked to the parents, and the parents have been a lot less intrusive. The group dance has been going kind of fine. It's a really easy dance, and I'm really eager to get to this one dance that I have planned, but I have to get through this one first. And it's been very interesting. I was always super nervous, specifically with the kid who does not want to be there. I was nervous because I don't know how much I could push her, you know? How much can I push this kid until she doesn't want to listen to me anymore and completely checks out? You know, I didn't know how much to push. And recently, you know, I've been pushing a little bit more to get to a reasonable state, you know, because I think she does feel competitive with her friends, but it's like, I think she feels like she's behind and just kind of gives up and checks out. So for me, I've been trying to push her, right? And push her to not just like give up, right? And I think we're turning a corner, because while it's still clear she doesn't really want to be there. She seems more receptive to me. And it's that's good. That's always a good sign. Yeah, I mean, I think we actually just finished learning all the choreography at the formation. So now I am about to go out of town for a couple of weeks. So the sub, ironically, the person who was going to be the sub but is now my aide is subbing for me. But I'll talk about this more a little bit later. But the point is that for the next few weeks, they will be cleaning the group dance. And, you know, I'm introducing them to more basic technique. And I think it's going well. I think it's going pretty well. The small group class I have, it's a trio class. And, you know, it's been interesting because it's with three of the kids that I am much more familiar with. These are three kids who had been dancing, with whom I've been dancing since I joined the group class. And I'm able to be a little bit more relaxed in a sense because I do know them. So I can approach instructing them from that more personable stance while still being professional. And I don't know, it's been actually pretty fun. I don't feel as stressed in that group class, in the small group class, as much as I do with the group class. It's been nice. We are learning this classical fan dance, and it's fun for me because this is a dance I have been watching for a little bit over 10 years now. It's a dance I watch over and over and over again. So the counts actually, for once, come really easy to me. In the sense that I can count at the speed of the music without thinking about it. And that's not something that I can do subconsciously all the time with all the dance music. And so, yeah, it's been pretty fun. There's lots of like shenanigans that we have to get through, like choreographical shenanigans. It's not like the kids are pulling shenanigans. It's in the choreography shenanigans that we've been fighting to get through. And I think we kind of got through the worst of it this past week. But yeah, it's been pretty interesting. Sometimes it sucks because it is, you know, there are only three people. So if there has been a week where two people haven't showed up and it's just like, well, now it's just a private class and I don't know what to do. But yeah. What's another thing that's been happening? Sorry, guys, I'm like off script. My script only got me to like the 30-minute mark. So we're going to keep talking for a little bit off script. It's been interesting because I have adopted the basic way of practice videos because there are now so many more kids and not everybody, you know, not everyone has like the same level of ability to communicate with me. So I've put all the practice videos in an unlisted YouTube playlist. And that's what we did in basic. It's easier than just sending a video because sometimes videos are too long to send over text or messenger or whatever, right? And not to mention that, so for like, there's one kid we contact through Instagram. Five of the kids we message through Facebook Messenger. And then three kids, it's through SMS. So it's very all over the place. But it's really annoying actually, because there's one kid, she's very sheltered and I can only contact her through her mom, who does not always respond to me, which makes me nervous because I'm not sure, like the mom is welcome to look at the practice playlist, but the practice playlist is for the kid to look at during the week, you know, or like X amount of time before practice starts. And I'm not confident that the mom is letting their kid look at the practice video. And you know, like the kid's 12. Like I understand if you don't want to give your 12-year-old a Facebook or Instagram or what have you. I understand that. Okay. My mom was that way. But like at least let your kid have access to the practice videos, man. Whatever. At least this kid has a pretty good memory. So it is what it is. But the person I am leaving in charge of the group class when I'm away, the person who has been operating in a assistant capacity, I love her. She is so nice. She is such a kind and collaborative person, and she's amazing. She, she's I found out that she's actually more trained in ballet, which has been super great because she's been taking the kids to train them on like pliés and tendu and some basic ballet technique, which is amazing because I am not qualified to do that. And she's so great. She's very collaborative, very encouraging, and she knows I'm going to be away for 2 weeks, right? She knows that she's going to be manning the group class by herself for 2 weeks. And so she asked me how I run the class, like a rundown, like bullet by bullet point rundown. And because she said that she wanted to run the class exactly like how I ran the class, like instead of taking her own spin on it. And again, I think this all just makes my respect for this person just go up even more, because like usually subs, they kind of just, they like to change the whole format of the class. And is that kind of what I'm doing? Yes. But like, I think spending 2 hours on a dance is a little bit overkill. I want to spread out the learning of the dance to different practices, and especially when we're kind of just drilling like 3 8-counts over and over again for 2 hours, it gets very monotonous. So I wanted to give the kids some basics that they can like fall back on also, so that we can also just do better, like more interesting dances also. Like it benefits everybody. But yeah, so she wanted a bullet point list of stretches and warm-ups and what I do, and I think she's great. She's so great. What else could I say? I'm trying to think of something else that happened. And there was a big thing that happened, but I'm not talking about it this episode because that would probably launch me into a whole nother topic that I want to save for a different episode. But so far, teaching has been really good. I actually did just sign a contract for a job, so I don't know how that's going to impact this teaching situation, but I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Definitely a shorter episode, and that's all I got in me. I have no doubt that things will continue to change and change rapidly on my end. So I guess if there's another huge batch of change, you can expect another update episode.
If you like what I'm doing and you want some behind the scenes, you can follow the podcast's Instagram at freestylethoughts_podofficial. That is freestyle thoughts, one word, and pod official also as one word. If you want to see more of me randomly throughout the week, I stream occasionally on Twitch now, twitch.tv/dxj22. I usually play pretty chill games, but sometimes I pop off and I talk about dance stuff for a long time. But as for now, this has been Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. Join us next week for another episode.